I'm Huey, the comic half squatch and high commander of the Blast of Stasha comic book review show on YouTube, and I support Janax Grownup through Patreon. You can too by going to patreon.com/JanaxGrownup.
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up podcast listeners, to episode 74 of the Gen X Grown Up podcast. I'm John. Joining me, as always, is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And Mo is here.
Hey, everybody.
In this episode, we'll watch a new Netflix series that puts an entertaining spin on historical topics, try some camera gear to bring your photography to the next level, and try a game where you play as a private investigator solving crime with the help of a cat in a hat.
That sounds interesting.
I can't wait to hear what that is.
I'm intrigued. I don't know about you guys, but yeah.
So we know whose game that is.
That's right. Before we jump into that, though, it's time for my favorite part of the show, where we do some fourth listener email. We have one, two, three of us, and we always figured if one more person listens, that's the fourth listener. And this time, the fourth listener is Mike L, who wrote in with the subject line, "Choose Your Own Adventure."
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We get a lot of feedback on that episode. I think that struck a chord. Yeah. Mike says, "Hey guys, it's Mike again, and I'm here to tell you how much I loved both the Choose Your Own Adventure books and your backtrack on them." Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Very cool.
I grew up mostly reading the Goosebumps version since I was really into that franchise growing up, and as an adult, I fell in love with them all over again. We can all relate to that, the thing we loved as a kid.
Yeah, only now we love them on eBay, where the prices are much, much higher than they were at the Scholastic Book Fair.
And my parents will not buy them for me. I don't understand what's going on with that.
Well, mine will.
Yeah.
Yours will.
Yeah.
Mine would if I asked.
Mommy will. I just have to ask.
Mike says, "A coworker of mine even told me about a game book that was similar to the ones you mentioned called Fighting Fantasy, where you roll stats and use those to play through."
Oh, interesting.
That reminds me a little of the Dungeons and Dragons. Don't they use some stats as well? Yeah, okay. Yeah,
there was a couple of the ones that I had in the Choose Your Own Adventure style books. There was like a Lone Wolf, I think, was one of them, and a couple of them where you rolled stats and used those in the games. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good for Dungeons and Dragons freaks like Mo, I'm sure. That's right up his alley.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm totally with you.
Thanks, Mike. He signs off just saying, "You're rambling, fourth listener." You didn't ramble. It was a great email. I barely edited you.
That's amateur rambling.
Mike. Right. We've had some long rambles. You weren't rambling at all. You're welcome. Ramble all you like.
That's
we
why our 20-minute podcasts end up being 45 minutes.
That's one of the contributing factors, without a doubt. Yes, it is. Thank you, Mike, for writing in. We'd love it every time one of our fourth listeners writes into the show. We read every single one of them, respond to most, and most of them make it here right on the show. If you'd like to be featured, just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We'll go right in the hopper. All right. With that good business behind us, I think it's time to jump into some media right after this.
In Rambo's world, there's new terror from Savage.
Gripper!
With a crushing grip and a motorized attack shield with four machine guns.
Make your move, Troutman.
Not so fast, Gripper.
Colonel Troutman.
Rambo CO, Special Forces, expert with his auto-feed battle-action machine gun. Gripper and Colonel Troutman each sold separately with their battle-action accessories from Coleco.
Feeling lucky, Gripper? Rambo!
Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals, and they're meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack. And it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We're still suffering a little bit on the media front. You know, I heard rumors that the theaters might open within a month or two now.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be.
Yeah, hearing around the end of July is what I'm hearing, I think.
Yeah.
Promising. I guess my AMC A-list is going to kick back in full force.
Yeah, I want to know if they're going to send us a notice or not, because I'm wondering if I'm going to get a charge out of the blue and damn it, I could have been going to movies.
Right. Let me know at least when you kick them back into high gear. I would be grateful. But there's been plenty of stuff released on a lot of streaming platforms.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I'm grateful for. And I'm going to start with you, George. There was something that you're looking at that I saw but haven't watched yet on Netflix.
Sure. Yeah, it's called History 101. Hmm. I'll give you their description of it, although I think John's was much better at the top of the podcast. They say infographics and archival footage deliver bite-sized history lessons on scientific breakthroughs, social movements, and world-changing discoveries. And that's basically exactly what it is. They have a bunch of infographics with a narrator, a whole bunch of archival footage that they show here and there. There are 10 episodes in the series. They're about 20 minutes each. Interestingly enough, now there are only 9 episodes at this time. Episode number 9, which was entitled AIDS, was removed from the platform due to protests from the nation of Haiti. Huh. Because I guess in that episode, they apparently focused really heavily on AIDS being a hotspot in Haiti and Haiti's government causing it to be spread worldwide. And there was just a whole bunch of backlash about the facts were wrong. And
I was going to say, was it not factual?
That's what I'm wondering too. Yeah.
Or
the protesters were claiming that it wasn't. There's apparently a whole bunch of stuff that was left out, and they never interviewed anybody from Haiti. They just it was just the one narrator. That's the way the whole series is, one narrator.
Yeah.
So you don't get points of view from other people. Even the archival footage things, it's not like interviews with people.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Huh. So of the remaining 9, you probably watched all 10 of them, I'm guessing.
No, but I've watched about 4 of them so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think? How are they?
Well, they're pretty good. They're fun little bite-sized things. It makes me question now, after reading a lot about that protest, whether or not they're truly factual or not. There's one about China's rise to economic power. There's another one about fast food and different. And I'm like, now I'm wondering, you know, how much do I trust these people of this documentary series?
Oh,
and the reason why I've only watched 4 of them so far is because really I've been mainly obsessed with another series on Netflix called Upload.
Oh, the Motar
that was on Amazon Prime. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I love History 101, but goddamn, Upload's the best thing I've seen in a long time. Holy hell.
I told you
so. Damn it, Mo.
So you got to listen to me more.
Well, Mo talked about it, and then we had one of our fourth listeners even said, if you haven't watched Upload yet, you should.
Yeah, watch it.
You took him up on it, George, finally. So we all have now.
So he listens to the fourth listener, doesn't listen to me. I get it. That's fine. Yeah.
He holds a lot more sway over George. We knew that.
I'm telling you, it was really
that's
good.
Okay.
And I didn't know that the lead actress in that series is like this tremendous musician who was a protege of Prince. And she's got all these great albums. I started listening to her music. Yeah, she's awesome. I mean, but anyway, yeah, History 101, it's good.
But watch Upload.
Yeah, watch Upload, but History 101 is good. If you need a time filler, because there's not a lot of new media, as John was saying out there, it's bite-sized 20-minute snippets, but take it with a grain of salt, because it might not be completely truthful.
So it might kind of be like edutainment, not actual like history, almost.
Yeah, they're nothing special. You're not going to become obsessed with the series and watch it all the way through like you would Upload.
How's the production quality? Because, I mean, it came up on my, hey, you should watch this from Amazon, because I watch documentaries.
Yeah,
is it like well-produced? Is it enjoyable
to watch? It's well-produced. It's solid. Okay. You know what it made me feel like? Remember remember there was a couple of music videos, one of them being Word Crimes, that was done by a guy who did that graphical entertainment with the font stuff and everything.
Yeah, like the word art song. Popping around the sound. Yeah. Word cloud
there was
things,
another
yeah.
Shop Vac by Jonathan Colton was another video by that same guy. It kind of has that feel to it on the infographic part.
I see. Okay.
Interesting.
It's kind of been on my radar. And of course, thanks to Sonar and Jacket, we'll be able to get the missing 10th episode. Probably it's, you know, nothing has ever gone. Remember when the Game of Thrones had like a coffee cup on the set and they took it out later, but you could still go and download the version that had the coffee cup. Once it's on the internet, it's forever on the internet. So good luck.
John, what about you? You been watching anything fun?
Yeah, also on streaming. And I don't know if this is right up the alley of everybody that listens to us, but it certainly was for me because, you know, I like documentaries, you know, I like puppets, but I also love animation and I love musicals.
Okay.
And there is a new series that's on Apple Plus, that streaming service, another of the 1400 premium streaming services.
Yeah.
Central Park is a new series on there. It's 3 or 4 episodes in, and it's a lot of talented people in this. It's kind of narrated by a character played by Josh Gad. It has a lot of characters you know in it, but it looks almost exactly. Do you watch Bob's Burgers on Fox, that animated series at all? You ever seen that?
I didn't.
Okay.
I mean, I knew it was there. I watched like 5 seconds of an episode one time. Right.
And
in
it's still running.
I think.
This is actually created by the same people that do the animation for Bob's Burgers. So the style is very much like you could look at it at a glance and go, that's Bob's Burgers. Like you'd look at Simpsons characters and they all draw the same or whatever.
Distinctive.
Yeah. So it's all takes place in New York around Central Park. Duh. That's the name of the thing. And the whole concept is there is this evil kind of, what would you call her? Like this spinstress, super wealthy woman who lives on the edge of Central Park. And she is played by Stanley Tucci, of all people.
What?
She voiced by Stanley Tucci.
Wow.
And he does a great, kind of like a grizzled old lady voice. It's great. And she wants to take over Central Park and purchase it and put up office buildings there, which forget about the point that that's illegal and you can't do that.
Yeah.
But she plans on doing it. And it follows Josh Gad, who's this narrator, and the family of the guy who's kind of the groundskeeper around Central Park. And they break into song. They talk about the beauty of the city and all these things. But it's fun animation. It's got a lot of heart, but it's a really easy watch. So if you enjoy animation, especially if you enjoy musicals, if you enjoy going to live theater or live musicals, I mean, Josh Gad, they picked him up, I'm sure, because he got his start in Book of Mormon on Broadway, and then he broke off and he's Olaf the Snowman and everything. Great songs in there, and it's huge production pieces, and it's amazing what you can do in animation because you don't actually have to get all the set pieces and all the people. You just draw hundreds of people, and you got it. So, and Apple Plus is not something that I probably would have even noticed Central Park was coming, except for the fact that, like you, George, Upload got in the way of History 101. In fact, I only found Central Park because I was on Apple Plus looking at the new Fraggle Rock miniseries. So I just happened to have to sign up to get that stuff.
Exactly.
So there's actually some good stuff on Apple Plus. I don't know if it's worth, it's another $5 or $6 a month or whatever, but long enough to binge all that stuff for sure.
Oh, cool. All right.
Mo, how about you? What have you been watching in media?
So, I mean, we're all fans of The Mandalorian, right?
Oh,
except for Josh, who hasn't seen them all.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So Disney, another streaming service, on Disney Plus, they have a series. It's called Disney Gallery. So I'm assuming it's going to be like other series, but this Disney Gallery series is on The Mandalorian. And like George, I know we're both like, you know, all of us actually are big movie media fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love seeing like kind of how the sausage is made when they make these TV shows and the behind the scenes things. Like, you know, that never takes away anything for me anyway. I think
it actually
makes it better for me actually. So each episode focuses on a different aspect of the making of Mandalorian.
Oh.
Yeah. So they have an episode just talking about the directors and how they picked the directors. They have an episode on the writing.
Oh, that's cool.
This sounds like DVD extras used to be, right? You bought a DVD and you flipped it over.
That's exactly
and said,
what
What's
this
on
is.
Here? The making of, behind the scenes, meet the cast kind of thing. Okay.
Now that there's no DVDs out there, it's all streaming services. They just spin it off into a new series.
Other series. It's very low money. I mean, they had one on the music, the one that just dropped was like how they created all the music. And it's like a lot, very roundtable discussions with putting off to side scenes and stuff. And if there's one episode you guys have to see, it's the one on the technology that they use to make The Mandalorian.
Oh, sure. I can see that fitting right up.
Oh, my God.
Like, yeah.
The one thing that blew me away is that they used very little green screen on this.
Really?
Which I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, how? Right. Imagine a massive room with a semicircular wall where the entire wall and ceiling is a TV screen.
A TV screen?
Like LED lights.
So what they did, like what the old days where people were driving in the car and had a movie projected screen behind them?
At the high-tech version of that.
What?
They use game technology so that when the camera's positioned, it knew where the camera was, where the actors were, so it changed the background.
So it moves the set pieces relationally.
The set pieces correctly.
Yeah. That is absolutely nuts. I can't wait to watch
it. It's something you told me that blew me away that made so much sense was, so the Mandalorian always has this big chrome mask thing on, and they usually avoid that because you'd have to do all the special effects to ray trace things on him.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's facing that TV screen thing, it automatically reflects off of his mask. They have to no extra work. It comes for free.
Wow. Yeah, exactly.
What normally you would have to replace and do in post, it automatically is bouncing off of him and reflecting.
Right. So all they do is they had to build, like, the ground was built sets, but it melded perfectly into these background screens. So it was like seamless.
Wow.
I mean, it was, you have to watch it. It's funny because when they were doing the shots, you see like Jon Favreau and all the directors, and the cameramen have these 3D virtual reality goggles on before they shot anything.
Right. Because they can see everything. Right.
Wow.
And they can figure out their camera shots ahead of time. All of it was interesting to me. I mean, all of it, the music one, the one directed went on how they came up with costumes. I mean, all of it's interesting, but that one in particular, if you're going to watch one, watch that one.
I'm going to watch all of them at this point.
Oh yeah. They're coming out. They just like up to episode 7. I don't know how long it's going to go for, but the 7 ones just dropped on Friday. So it's like a weekly thing.
Now that's the one thing with Disney Plus that I noticed. Everybody else, like Netflix or one of the, they just drop everything on the same day. But Disney Plus seems to want to space it out like network TV or something. Here's this one this week and 2 weeks from now. That's a little frustrating for me because so far, up until just recently, their internet player is not the best compared to Netflix or Prime. Their internet player is really weak.
Well, especially when they first launched, it had a lot of issues. Yeah,
it was very bad. But if you're going to put me through your growing pains of that, at least give me everything at once so they get to watch it all at the same time.
Yeah, I agree with you. From a viewer standpoint, just give it to me all at once. But you got to admit that like spacing out like a show like The Mandalorian, they kept the buzz in pop culture for a much longer time.
That's true.
Because it wasn't just like think about Upload that you were just talking about, like how awesome it was. And it's done. It's gone.
Yeah.
You know, now it's all downhill and it's all waiting.
Now I'm rewatching it with my family, though. Now they're interested in it. But other than that, you're right. Yeah.
Speaking of rewatching, I bet you after watching this Disney Gallery, Mo, going back to watch The Mandalorian again, you might have a new appreciation for it.
Oh, it totally, because now I'm like looking to see like, okay, how do they do this background scene?
Can I see the scene between the TV screen and the bottom of the set?
You're not going to be able to.
I guess it's not very surprising that we have all just automatically shifted gears to living in the world of these streaming services now that we can't go out and do stuff as much as we used to. So thank goodness they're putting out quality stuff.
Even some of that's not quality, I'm still watching it.
Even that's not quality, at least just give me stuff.
It wasn't very difficult for most of them. All they did was they took their service and they added a plus on the end of it.
A
and
plus
they became
on the
an
end.
Online streaming service. That was it.
Apple Plus. Disney Plus. No, you're right. Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
All right, George gets his, that's his right for the show.
This is the one.
Hey guys, what's in all the buckets?
Coco.
All right. Did you save me any?
Sure. A whole box full.
Snap, crackle, pop, Cocoa Krispies.
Kellogg's Cocoa Krispies, a chocolatey part of this complete breakfast.
And this really tastes chocolatey.
With all those buckets,
you can't miss.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I have a suggestion.
Oh,
that, okay.
You know, we've been doing this show for, a couple of years now, right?
Mm-hmm. 74 episodes, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been introducing this tech and toys, and I really feel that we need to switch things up a little bit.
You don't have anything again, do you?
Wait. That's beside the point. Let's not distract from my point here.
It's just personally because he's embarrassed again. That's why.
Maybe we could switch and like have me do like media, which I always have something to talk about, and you know, maybe give John something like tech. But I'm just throwing that out there now, just for us to talk about.
I'm just enjoying listening to you squirm, so I think we keep it the way it is.
Yeah. So I'm just throwing that out there. So
and give up all this.
On that note, so let's just move on now to George. What do you have for us? And then we'll just kind of move on to topics.
Right.
All right. Well, fine. I will talk about the thing that I was looking forward to on our last podcast. I did get in my Funko Marvel collector.
Of course. Yeah. I'm really curious about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those at home can't see it, but you guys can see it on camera. I am wearing the T-shirt that I got in the box.
Oh, it's like a Black Widow T-shirt.
Black Widow pop vinyl kind of style.
Animation T-shirt.
And that's the way all the T-shirts are. Apparently they're always going to be the character or the subject matter with a pop vinyl twist to it,
right?
Which is kind of different than a lot of the other T-shirts. And I've seen some people on the Amazon, you know, like that little feedback section, the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some people complaining about that. Don't make my T-shirt pop mine. I'm like, shut up.
But
it's something different.
That's the name of the thing,
least,
right?
You know?
Is that the name of the collection box?
Well, just buy one of the other 18 million T-shirts out there if you don't like something new.
Yeah. You know, it's Marvel and it's pop vinyl. If you don't want that, then why are you subscribing to the box in the first place?
It was in the name of the box, right? Yeah.
Why is it only Marvel characters? I want some DC characters in there.
Yeah.
So the description of this box was spot on. It was Titans of Pop Culture and Celebration Collide in the Marvel Collector Core themed Black Widow subscription box.
Jeez Louise, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, right? I got two exclusive pop vinyls, which is really cool. I got a Black Widow and I got her father. They've got dirty faces on them, so you imagine that they have the other pop vinyl that's clean faced. I also got the T-shirt, which was really cool. I got an enamel pin, which was nice, and a little sticker, you know, just as a little throwaway thing. So I got those four or five things. Very fun box. I was very happy with it. It was $29.99 with free shipping.
That's not awful.
I'm kind of about $55 in value there. I'm kind of doing a mental tally.
Yeah, because a normal pop vinyl, new one's like $10, right?
And these are exclusive.
Yeah.
I think these are worth $20 if you want them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
The enamel pin's probably worth $5.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at $45. This T-shirt, I would probably pay $15 for this T-shirt.
No, easily,
It's a 3X, like a so sword. Maybe $60
Yeah, yeah, good luck finding a T-shirt for less than $15 unless it's a paper thin Walmart T-shirt or something.
And it's very good quality. The quality of the T-shirt, I've worn it for a couple of weeks now since I got the box.
Never taken
nonstop.
It off.
Nonstop. He's never taken it off.
Yeah.
I haven't taken it off. What's the point? I'm at home quarantined.
I'm at home, right. I'm not sweating.
I don't have to go out anywhere, so I might as well just, as T-shirts get delivered to me every few weeks, I'll just put a new one on.
This will be this week's shirt. I have done way less laundry. You're right.
Exactly, right? Just like gas in the car. I can't remember the last time I put gas in my car.
Mm-hmm.
I went out and checked out Amazon right now. That box is available currently on them, but it's $39.99 right now.
So people are reselling it probably.
Yeah,
now.
I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
The next box up in the series is X-Men 20th Anniversary Edition, and they come out every other month.
Oh.
I'm not sure if I'm going to get it, and I don't have to decide until the day they ship out. I can pause it. I can cancel it. I can do whatever. I think if you can find a subscription box on Amazon, and I looked and there are probably 30 or 40 subscription boxes on Amazon.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Of this genre, but things like toys for kids, makeup. I saw like a crafting one with like knitting supplies and stuff in it. So just a wide variety of subscription boxes. If there's one out there that you're interested in, look on Amazon. I'm not going to say the price is always going to be the best, but the ease of entry and exit on these subscription boxes with Amazon, I think, is what sells them. Plus, they're all free shipping.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until you mentioned this one. And now I'm intrigued. I want to know more. Mo, I'm going to see, maybe we can find some links to some of these Amazon boxes or how to find them. I don't know how to find them, and throw some links down the show notes. Yeah.
I think all I did was I went on Amazon and I searched subscription box, and Mo's holding up his phone right now in the video. So he's already found some
stuff. Subscribe to three. Come on.
I am going to get the X-Men one, just so you know.
Are you? Oh, yeah. I thought maybe you were going to get the makeup and the yarn one. No?
I already got that one.
Yeah.
I got that one.
You already got that one.
Yeah. Gifts for his ferret. Whatever you got. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think this is a good way. If you enjoyed the old Geek Fuel and those things before they kind of started going downhill, in my opinion, a little bit, and started getting derivative, this is a good way to test the waters without having to make any kind of big commitment.
Yeah. I think I'm going to explore. I didn't know it was there, and now that they're good. So
And there's a ton, George was saying.
Yeah.
They're doing a bad job of marketing, like I said last time. It's like, well, this should have popped up as you might be interested in years ago.
Yeah.
If I hadn't gotten that email that I didn't just instantly delete that one time, I would have never known about it.
Nope. We all benefit.
Cool.
John, what about you? Since I know that our third member doesn't really have anything for this topic.
Since the conscientious objector has decided not to have any tech or toys in this episode.
No, I thought we were past past that already. We kind of we covered that.
We are nowhere near past that.
Be past it.
We're hip deep in it right now.
Well, one of us is anyway.
Remember last episode we were talking about the new camera that I got, that EOS M50.
Yes, the one that you forced Mo to buy.
That's the one. Yes.
Yeah, I'm very happy about that purchase, by the way.
And even since then, I've learned so much about working with this camera. One is I was using DSLR and mirrorless camera interchangeable. They're totally different things. I didn't know that. I thought DSLR was a form factor. Shows how informed I was about grown-up cameras. But yeah, it's the M50 from Canon, and been using it for videos. It's working great for me. I'm still learning. There's 18 million settings on this thing. I mentioned it has like the super settings on it. The camera itself is perfect the way it is. I don't need to change anything about it. The lens is fine. It operates fine. Everything about it is cool. What I've started to get into is just the total avalanche of accessories you can get to go with your camera. And I'm not talking about like a new lens or a, you know, a cover or a flash or whatever. My camera has turned into a damn erector set. So many things that you can do. And I found this company called Small Rig. And of all the kind of accessory manufacturers I found, these guys seem to be just the most on the ball with the coolest things. And my main goal for getting this camera is I was tired of having to set up every time I wanted to start shooting something, a video, because often the biggest hurdle for me is getting started, because I got to get the tripod, set that up and plug in a lavalier mic and run that under my shirt and all this crap. And I wanted something I put on a tripod. It's the light, it's the camera, it's the mic, it's all ready to go. Mm-hmm. And they start with, they have this cage, it's called, that you put around your camera. It's this form-fitted little box and you bolt it onto your camera, and it then turns into, it has a bunch of those little quarter 20 screw holes all around it, so you can start mounting lights and screens and stuff.
Oh, it's like a little square thing in you can attach stuff to it. I got you. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like erector set, like you said.
It is. It really is. I mean, because the camera has a hot shoe on it, but this has it has an extra cold shoe, and it has all the bolt on parts. And so I'm going to try, Mo, if I can give you a picture of my rig, but it's getting pretty impressive now. I have a boom mic that reaches out on a telescoping arm that you can angle out, so the mic is over me. It's been so much fun. I discovered this new type of mount called an Arca mount that I'd never heard of.
Does Tony Stark invent that? What the hell is that?
It's similar. It's almost as cool. There's trouble getting things on and off of tripods. They have this special form now that the cage is built in. That's an easy, quick connect, quick release mount. Nothing has to bolt to your camera. So the company itself, Small Rig, is awesome specifically. But in general, man, once you get one of these cameras, if you're using it regularly, there's so much cool stuff to add onto it. Now, how portable is it going to be after I bolt on, you know, 1,400 things? And
now you can't get it out the door that it came in when you first bought it.
It's right. Yeah, it kind of looks like Dr. Octopus. It's got all these things bolted on. It's reaching around.
He's going to need a whole case of salad dressing to balance it.
It's going to become your new cosplay at the next convention. It's going to be like, I'm cameraman.
I'm coming as a camera. But the nice thing is that Canon creates a great, it's the motor. It's the beating heart, the engine of this rig. And everything's kind of microphone plugged into that. And the light kinks off of this and gets its power from that. And it's been a great experience. And the company Small Rig, if you look them up, we'll throw a couple show notes down below with some of the parts that we have bought. But if you're going down this path of looking at, like I said, a grown-up kind of adult kind of camera, there's so much cool kid stuff to do once you get the grown-up camera. I got a box from Amazon. I'm like, ooh, it's camera accessories. Let's play. And I can start putting them together. So, Mo, have you looked at any of these accessories? I know I made you buy the camera.
Of course, because you pointed them out to me already. So you know I've already started looking at these. And the thing that, again, makes me want it more is that Amazon sold out of the one that you
like
have.
The camera. Must be good if they're all sold out.
Like, they must be, everybody must want one. But I'm actually looking into it just because, for the same reasons, like, you know, we had talked about like two like small things I don't like about the camera is just like changing batteries if you have it on your tripod is kind of awkward. But you said that this kind of solves that problem.
The cage fixes that. The mount, so many things.
So, and it's a small concern, but still, though, it'd be like one less thing for me to gripe about.
And one more reason to bitch at me for making you spend money.
Exactly. And one more, like you said, like you one need more that. Package from Amazon to get that's like, hey, yeah. It's not dog food. It's something cool, you know?
All right. So, Mo, what is your great tech toy for this episode?
Wow.
So, let's move on to games.
That's nice.
Games. Let's do games.
I set him right up.
Oh, now I'm George. My games. Introductions.
We'll let George do his games right after this.
All right.
This is a Petster. And this is the kid who got it to come when he called.
You're kidding.
His sister made it go right or left just by clapping her hands. Then there's the kid who let Petster do its own thing, while she did nothing at all. The Petster and Petster Deluxe with leash are sold separately by Axlon.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 Cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on CannedAirPodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, time for the Generation X, where Mo finally has something to talk about. Game segments.
Yes, yes, games.
And let's go ahead and start off with Mo, because it's been about 7 hours since he had a topic to talk about. Mo, are you playing anything fun today?
I don't want to talk about it now. No,
screw you guys. I'm going home.
I'm taking my game and I'm leaving. No.
Okay. I'm playing a game. It's called Observation. Okay. I don't know if you heard of it.
I heard of it?
That's like what you do to our tech segment. Observer. It's
exactly. Observer.
It's. I just caught that.
Sorry. Yeah, okay.
Okay, guys. We put on a quality, mature show here, guys. Let's come on to this show.
Fuck you.
All right, I couldn't even keep a straight face when I said that. Sorry.
What show are you on?
I could not. I know. I can't even keep a straight face on that one. Okay. Anyway, so it's a first-person mystery space game. And it's interesting because you actually don't play the main character. You play the computer system that the main character needs in order to like figure out what's going on.
Hmm. So you're the observer. You're observing the main
exactly.
character.
Okay. I'm going to give you the whole plot. But the main person is a scientist on this space station that's circling Earth. Something weird happens. She can't contact anybody. And she boots you up because you're like the AI for the station. And so you have access to all the cameras, the systems, and you have to get access because everything's down. So the first thing you do is she helps you reconnect to everything. And you can control like the doors and all that kind of stuff. And you're helping her figure out what's going on. So you access like people's laptops and you can see notes and what's happening.
So if you are the AI that's running inside of the station, how is it first person? Just you see
because
from your cameras?
Through the camera view.
From your camera. Do you move around? Do you navigate or you just control the world?
Like every room has like multiple cameras, so you can switch angles.
Okay.
And then there is a part where you become like this remote module, like this old floaty ball thing.
Okay.
You know, not the whole thing, but parts of it that you do. And so you're like kind of helping her uncover this mystery of what happened. Where are all the people? Why did station suddenly it's not around Earth anymore? It's someplace else, which is weird. It was a really very immersive, engrossing. It was a very cool adventure. I really enjoyed it.
Was implies that you've actually burned through it already?
That was my biggest complaint. I think it was too short.
Oh, it was too short. So it wasn't you played it so ravenously is that it was really kind of abbreviated.
I finished it over three sessions. It took me to finish the whole thing.
Pretty quick.
And so it was pretty quick. So, you know, maybe took like maybe about 4 or 5 hours to get through the whole thing. And the game itself, I think I paid $12 for it, somewhere around there. Okay. So it didn't really
Has it been around a while? Do you know?
It's been around for a little bit, not huge. It's on sale, so it's definitely been around for a little bit, but not
probably
like
a year
new.
Yeah, not new.
But it was really well done, and you feel like an attachment to the main character because even though she's sitting there, she's like, I can't get into section blah blah blah. You know, I'm trying to find the captain, see if you can locate him. So you are moving cameras through the station trying to locate people. You're trying to boot up systems, and they also built like a little puzzle aspect to it as well. For instance, turn on the life support. But in order to turn on the life support, you have to open up these things, which require like a combination. So it has a little bit of like almost like escape room sort of vibe to it too. Like you need to get someone's laptop, so you're looking at their workstation, see where they put their passcode. You know,
so kind of like you get to play a hacker a little bit too, even though you're the AI.
Well, the thing is that you're like actually looking like at the physical world, trying to see like they have a post note with their passcode on it somewhere,
right?
You know, gotcha. That kind of thing. So it was really interesting. It was a different take. So you're not really playing like the main character; you're playing like a support role almost.
How did you discover it? I mean, you didn't go looking for it.
It was on Epic.
Okay,
popped up on my. It
just popped up as a sale.
As a sale, and you may like thing. And so I was like, I looked at the description. The price was right. You know, I was like, $10 range is usually, I'm willing to take a risk for that amount of money.
He's like, what the heck? I don't have any technology. I might as well play a game. Sure.
Exactly.
Wow.
Oh, my God. We're still... How many miles are we going to get on this? We're going to get a lot, aren't we? Okay, anyway.
Well, it'll stop as soon as you get a tech toy. It's great.
But the thing is, I can only afford to buy the things that you're telling me to buy. So
I gave you a bunch of stuff. Just push buy. Put it add to cart. It's easy.
So I can't add more because, I'm still trying to keep up with you.
I understand.
Yeah. Trust me, I've been trying that for 30 years. It doesn't work.
it's a losing battle.
All right. I'll find something next time. But anyway.
I know you
will. It was a great game. If you could get it for like the $10 range, 10 to maybe $15, I think it was totally worth it. Because
even
really
though it was only
4 or 5
hours, the quality booster you feel
the quality,
makes it worth
the
it.
Enjoyment. Like I was really engrossed in the story. It's one of the ones you just kind of hate to put down because you're at that next thing you want to do. The next
and
thing
it's
you
almost
do.
Over. You might as well finish.
You don't know even when the end is coming, kind of.
Yeah.
And then I realized when I finished the whole my second criticism about it is that when I finished the whole thing, it said, here's all the stuff you didn't discover. But the thing is, you can't go back. You have to start over.
So you have to start over. So like a new game plus where you continue with your abilities.
Exactly. You can't go back to like the save point where you can go back and
I'm not
going to
play all that again.
That's not really likely. What it came down to. I'm like, if they came out with like an expansion, I may go back and replay it again, would lead it to an expansion kind of deal.
Yeah, all right.
But right now, I'm probably not going to watch it. But for a $10 range, think of it like a long movie price.
Right.
I think it's definitely worth it. So I totally recommend it.
Okay.
So how about you, John? What have you been doing these days? Since I know you have a game.
Oh, I do. I do have a game.
I know.
Not a video game. It's another board game. And it is a solid Gen X era board game. So you'll remember that when I went to Denver, I stopped in and visited that 5280s kind of retro store. And when I was there, I bought the 1980 Pac-Man board game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I haven't even opened it yet. I mean, I looked to make sure it's all in there and stuff, but I haven't opened it and play it yet. I plan on doing a video on it. And I told my daughter, who is super awesome, that, hey, I have this Pac-Man board game. And she's like, you're a nerd. And
duh.
Well, so she's out shopping.
It took her this long to figure that out? Okay.
No, she was just reminding me.
Okay. Oh. In case you've forgotten your senility.
Not necessarily. Yeah, probably. So she was out at an antique mall, and she came across a Ms. Pac-Man board game from like the also early 80s, 82, 83 era, and brought it home to me.
I didn't know there even was one.
I didn't either. I had no idea there was one. She sent me a picture that said, are you interested? And like, give it to me. Let's purchase that. she brought it home, and we actually did a video on it. And Mo, I'll ask you to put a link down in the show notes if you want to see this board game.
Okay.
But I want to talk about the game a little bit itself. First, I was so thrilled that it was kept in such good condition, like ludicrously good condition by whoever owned it for nearly 40 years, that, when you buy a new game and you break the pieces off those little plastic molded trees, those were still in the box. The parts they broke it off of were still in there. They took great care of it. And the game itself, unlike some of the other Pac-Man games that I've played, even the recent board game that came out last year that we did a video on, the Pac-Man-ness, that one tried so hard to really jam the video game into the board game. So you're all by yourself. Everyone plays one ghost. And this one took a different kind of attack. And I'm interested when we get together, maybe give this a shot. What happens is on your turn, you are Ms. Pac-Man trying to clear your dots from the board. But if you as one of the ghosts can catch Ms. Pac-Man, you take over as Ms. Pac-Man and you start driving to try to clear your dots from the board.
Hmm.
So instead of waiting your turn to be the protagonist, your motivation to chase down whoever is currently playing is that you're going to get control and then start, So
it's almost like tag.
Yeah, a little bit. Right? Yeah,
now that you mention it, it's a bit like tag. Yeah. If I can get you, I take over and now everybody's after me. It's so charming too to see a game from that era, and everything is like the wording is so kind of optimistic and hey kids, you're gonna have a great time. It's the best fun you'll have on a board game. And it was really neat to get, and now it's part of my permanent collection. It looked like it had never been touched. It's premium quality for a game that age. So yeah, definitely take a look on the YouTube channel if you have any interest in old games like that or kind of transitions from kind of digital to a board game. We've looked at several of those, and I think we'll look at more of them on the channel. And I just really enjoyed that my cool daughter found something cool for me. Normally I'm out shopping and adding to my mountain of garbage, and she did it for me this time. So
I saw the video, and I was like you said, I was just shocked at how pristine this copy was.
It was really amazing.
I mean, with the exception of the box itself having some wear and tear on it, like everything inside looked brand new. I mean, it was crazy.
Really did.
Yeah. I actually put a comment. I was like, are you sure like your doppelganger didn't own this, John? Because this looks like the way you would take care of a game. Everything was in plastic bags.
It really was. Yeah. It's how I take care of my games now. And some somebody back then did that. So it usually doesn't happen because kids get these games and they just throw the pieces all over their room. So, okay. I've been looking forward to this, George. You've been making your way through the alphabet of all of your games that you have in your Steam library that you bought for super cheap.
What letter are we up to?
I think we're up to H now.
H?
We are.
Wow.
We're on H now. Yeah.
All right. So what are we at?
We are on H. The game that I chose for the letter H is Hot Tin Roof, the cat that wore a fedora.
Not the cat in a hat.
No.
It is a cat in a hat.
No, I mean, it is a cat in a hat, but it's a cat in a fedora. That's a
It's
hat.
A more specific hat. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I thought you would have recognized that from your time period of growing up, but...
Go buy a toy, see?
Hey, fedoras are cool.
You mug.
So I'll give you the description. It says, you're the private investigator on a string of grisly murders, scouring for clues in a 3D side-scrolling world. Grab your fedora and revolver in Hot Tin Roof. You're on the case. Dive into a noir mystery and become Emma Jones, the only PI partnered to a cat named Frankie.
Frankie.
Oh, so you're not the cat.
So you're not the cat.
Oh, you're not the cat.
You're not the cat. Okay.
Yes, you're the detective who is partnered with a cat who talks, as apparently all animals do in this world.
I hope so.
Rats, cats, everything in this game.
What made you pick this game out of all the H games you had?
Honestly, because it's a noir mystery. I love that genre of film and story,
cool.
And that was what grabbed it for me. The music is exactly what it should be. It's that sick, sweetly, like, kind of saxophone, piano kind of feel. Exactly. Yeah. It's awesome.
I can hear it.
It was developed and published by a company called Glass Bottom Games, so obviously another independent one because they did everything themselves. The visual style is, I described this to you, John, earlier when you were asking me about it. It's Flappy Bird meets Minecraft. So everybody's these blocky little creatures. They kind of hop along like Flappy Bird did in the sky, but this on the ground.
Yep.
It's everything is on 90 degree axes. So you can't like walk diagonally through a scene. It's all
at a right turns.
You're walking to the right, and then when you turn, the whole screen shifts and you're walking to the right again or back to the left. You know, so you're really only walking in those two directions like a side scroller, but when it needs to shift directions, the whole world turns for you. This was released on February 20th of 2015. The current price on Steam right now is $14.99.
Oh,
this was one of my humble Freedom Bundle purchases. So
that was that big, huge bundle of tons of stuff, right?
Yeah, I paid $30 for the whole bundle, as I talked about last time. But with the 135 items in that, this game ended up costing me 22 cents.
Spreadsheet update.
Exactly.
22 cents.
22 cents. So, and to me, worth that at twice the price, honestly. It was worth 44 cents.
Maybe three times.
Really? How generous.
It's a good, solid game. I really enjoy it. I've played it for probably about an hour. I tried to scale up the graphics to 1080p, which is what my TV operates at. When I did that, I couldn't see anything. The whole screen just went like a blue color. I couldn't see the game at all. I had to highlight the icon in my taskbar so I could see in that little icon where my cursor was and go back and adjust my screen settings back.
Wow.
I uninstalled and reinstalled the game 15 times. I deleted all the files, everything I could. I even used CC Cleaner on this damn thing. It still kept coming back up to that.
You might expect that on like a DOS game from 1982, but not from a 2015 game. Really?
Yeah, really. Holy
That's
cow.
The only thing. So just be careful when you're sizing out for the screen resolution part. Other than that, it's a solid, it's a fun game. It's got a lot of different things you can do. You're hopping around, you're grabbing stuff. The gun that they talk about in the description, the way that the gun becomes more adaptable in the game is not from changing guns, but from changing ammo. So the first ammo you get are these like burster things that just make like a cap gun pop sound. They don't hurt anybody. They just make that sound.
Okay.
The next ammunition that I've gotten are bubble rounds, and they literally squirt bubbles out of the gum, and your cat goes nuts trying to chase them down, and he reveals stuff to you, or they reveal other things that are highlighted on the screen. You talk to your cat, you talk to rats. Your cat has a history, apparently, because as you're meeting other characters, they're like, oh, you shouldn't trust that cat. You know what he did to me? And he's like, let's move on.
Your cat has a dark history. What's going on?
Apparently. So it's a fun little game. If you want something interesting and fun, if you like noir mystery style, I definitely recommend it. If not, I don't know that the $14.99 price tag is worth it to anyone, because that is kind of high for what I've seen so far in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As far as a rating, I can only give this game 3.5 tokens out of 5 right now.
Oh,
okay. I should mention that your last one was the letter G, that Guacamelee game.
Yes.
And thanks to you, I'm about 8 hours into that game.
You're further along than I am. Jeez.
It's really good. That was a great recommendation. So your reviews are spot on. So Guacamelee was awesome. Hot Tin Roof is good. But in case none of those actually strike your fancy, George, you have another giveaway for one of
our
fourth listeners.
We do. So as I said, this was part of my Humble Freedom bundle, and I had several games in there that I had already gotten through other bundles. So I found another Steam key that I had never used and apparently should be available. It's for the game called The Stanley Parable.
Oh, I know you remember that game. I played that one.
That's great.
I had a lot of fun with that one.
Really good game. If you haven't played that game, this is a great opportunity to pick it up with this free key and play it. It's a very fun game. Multiple endings, but it's like one ending per game kind of thing. A lot of fun. So it's available for the first person who writes in. And I don't know what's the subject going to be of this email? You came up with a good one last time for punching chickens.
Cat in the Hat. How about your cat in the hat?
Yeah, your fedora.
Cat in the hat, subject.
So hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com in the subject line, Cat in the Hat, and say you want your copy of the Stanley Parable in the body of the message.
There you go.
First come, first served. We'll give it away.
Yeah.
Ever see a ball quite like this? The Nerfles. Officer Bob, Speedy, Frankie, and Scratch, each sold separately.
So much fun to clown around, to change and rearrange around.
To bounce and up and roll around.
Yes, Nerfles are a ball to be around.
The Nerfles. Oops, the Nerfles. Officer Bob, Speedy, Frankie, and Scratch, each sold separately from Parker Brothers.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
As we round the last corner here of the show, we always like to take a moment to talk about the things that we're anticipating, we're looking forward to between now and the next time we get together to record the podcast. Let's start with you, Mo. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to a show that actually is a reboot of an old show. So The Twilight Zone is coming out with the second season.
Oh, finally. Okay.
Yes. June 25th is when it's going to drop again. So I'm not sure if the... Actually, I don't remember. Did they drop all the episodes last time?
No, it was week by week, one at a time. You had to wait on them.
So episode one's coming June 25th. You know, I'm still on the fence about how I feel about the first season. So I'm looking forward to the next season to really kind of solidify one way or the other. I mean, it's interesting enough for me to watch it.
I really enjoyed the first season.
I'm going to go on record and once again, give George credit. You called early on that you thought all of those would be connected, and they were at the end. Not quite in the way you thought,
right?
But they absolutely connected them all at the end, which I thought was a little bit of a stretch, but it was an interesting experiment to try to do. So they did a neat job with the first season. I think there were hits and misses in the first season, but none of it was junk. It was just like, really? That's the premise? But it was still interesting. That was kind of how I felt about it.
So, it was good enough for me to watch a second season. So, you know.
It is. Yeah. And George, you were 100% on board with that first season, I think, weren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to season two. Yeah.
All right, cool. How about you, George? What are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to a new show coming up on TBS on June 21st. It is called Tournament of Laughs.
Huh?
Yeah, right?
Never heard of it? Okay.
I hadn't either.
Tell me more.
All I can find so far are a couple of industry articles and a 20-second trailer that shows nothing of the TV show. It is hosted by Jason Sudeikis. You guys know him, you know, comedy actor. It says it will feature 32 comedians facing off in a single elimination bracket style tournament, with each episode featuring multiple matchups. Every week, the comics will create, produce, self-film, and star in their own videos, from stand-up sets to song parodies and everything in between.
So it's YouTube.
Yeah. Well, and I think that they're creating this in the COVID environment, right? There are a few shows that have been having to do that lately.
Oh, so like somebody fast-tracked and greenlit this for something they could produce without being in the studio.
I think so. And I think that's why we're not seeing any trailers on it, because I think it's, you know... it's all this self-produced stuff and they're putting it all together. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward just to seeing if it's going to be a train wreck or if it's going to be fun or if it's just going to be boring as hell.
You know, train wrecks can be fun too. So
that's right. True, in their own way. Yeah.
A little bit of each.
John, what about you?
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to what is now the fourth season of a show that everyone should be watching. And I think almost nobody is. It's a Netflix series called F is for Family that stars, it's created by and stars Bill Burr. It's an animated series. Laura Dern, Vince Vaughn, Justin Long, Sam Rockwell, some of the voices in this.
Yeah, I love all those people.
Yeah. So this is a series that is totally for Gen Xers. If you were a kid in the mid to late 70s, that's when the time frame when this takes place. Like in the first season, they're excited about the fact that they got a dual cassette answering machine in their house. Like it's the biggest thing ever. So if you know Bill Burr as a stand-up comic, like he's an unfiltered, just raucous guy.
Yeah.
And his catchphrase, like think about The Simpsons, where the catchphrase is like, eat my shorts and why you and whatever. Bill Burr's catchphrase as a father in F is for Family is, I'll put you through that fucking wall.
Wow.
that's his catchphrase.
Merry Christmas, folks.
It's a family show, huh?
It's a dysfunctional, very realistic family, just kind of amped up, right? So everybody has their own little problems, and this kid has this insecurity, and he loves, you know, playing Dungeons and Dragons, and he has trying to make a heavy metal band out of being wizards, and the dad is so frustrated with everything. He actually loves his family, but he's like this super gruff asshole about it, and Bill Burr just sells it, along with all the other voice talent. Actually, the season four just dropped about a week ago, as you listen to this, just yesterday for me. I haven't watched any of it yet, but man, I'm excited to binge that. But more importantly, if you haven't watched the previous seasons, you've really missed out on another great animated series starring some awesome, awesome folks. And it's on Netflix. Easy for you to stream now.
Oh, so they can drop it all then, huh?
It's all out now. It's all the four seasons out, and the first three are ready for you to go back if you missed them. If you haven't seen it, it's new to you.
Now, Hordak reveals the most gruesome trap ever. The Horde Slime Pit.
The what?
The Slime Pit.
Now, Spike, you're my slave, not the slime. Yes, my slime will overpower you.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.
If there was anything in this show you'd like to learn more about, the show notes which accompany each episode are full of links to click and explore. Catch up on past episodes and get pinged every time a new one's released by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. And you know, iTunes reviews help more than you know, so if you haven't yet, please rate and review us in the iTunes app. And if you have a friend who isn't yet listening, why not? Tell them about us, they'll thank you later. You're our fourth listener, and we'd love to read your emails right here on the show, so hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. And finally, Gen X Grown Up is more than just this podcast. Our YouTube channel has hundreds of videos ready for you to enjoy, plus you can find our entire body of work on genxgrownup.com. Thank you for hanging in there with us through another episode of the Gen X Grown Up Podcast. Before we leave, you know, I always like to take a moment here at the end of the show to express our heartfelt gratitude to the amazing people that support us over on Patreon. You guys who listen, fantastic, who watch, engage us there. But these are a subset of super fans who actually support us financially with a little money every single month. And I want to give them credit where credit is due. I want to thank each and every one of you. Greg Z, Arlen, Stew Monkey, Dana, Chet, Levi, Blasteter Stash, Jonathan H, Stubaka, Thomas, Greg L, Ben, Tony, Steen, Marcus Davis, Mike C, T2, Tom J, Chad, Mark, Dan, Slomo, Agile, Adam, Travis, and new since we last spoke, David has joined us as a patron over on Patreon. Thank you so much for joining us. Mo, if one of our fourth listeners is not yet a patron and would like to change that, how would they go about doing so?
Well, again, it's really easy. You just go to genxgrownup.com/Patreon. It'll take you right to the page, and we have now, I think we even have some new levels that we added.
We do. We were forced to because of the generosity of our patrons.
Yes. Anything you can give, obviously, we always appreciate, but also the benefit of joining, you do have some swag depending on what level you join, and we have some additional content, which I actually listened to some of it recently, and it's pretty damn funny.
it's either stuff that, like, we go off on a tangent and didn't make the show, or it's outtakes or bloopers, or sometimes it's just vlogs that we do kind of talk to you, or what's happening.
I totally forgot about the rant about brick house that me and George had. It was, and I listened to it, and I was cracking up again listening to that. I was like, you know, it was really great. But anyway, yeah, please. I mean, we appreciate every single person that gives us money. And
we sure do. Yeah.
If you're interested in doing it, please go to that genxgrownup.com/Patreon and do what you can.
Yeah, well said, Mo. We appreciate each and every one of you, whether you're a patron or not. But we love you even more if you help us out there. It's making a huge difference, too. It's really supporting what we do here on the podcast, over on YouTube, and on the website. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a regular episode of our show as usual. But next week, with a backtrack, we pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. George, tell the fourth listeners what they have to look forward to next week.
Absolutely. If you enjoy comedy that's at least 40 years old, this podcast is going to be for you, because we're certainly not funny and we're over 40. We are going to be talking about 40th anniversary comedy films. So we have chosen four films to discuss in depth. We're going to go through them each one by one. We've all taken the time to watch them again, or in some cases, John, watch them for the first time.
True.
And we will be discussing all the ins and outs and fun highs and lows of those 40th anniversary comedy films.
And there are both
week.
Some highs and some lows for sure in our picks,
including John's opinion.
And George's opinion as well. Okay. We hope you will join us for that one. Until then, I am John. George, thank you for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you, man.
Oh, man, always fun.
And fourth listener, it's you we appreciate most of all, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody. No life, no fun.
Don't you know that you're a grown-up? Gen X Grown-Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up Podcast listeners, to this. It's not the backtrack edition. It's my fucking brain. Episode 74. Okay. And again.
I thought Mo was frozen on the video again, but I see his eyes moving. He's just. It's like just a super, damn statue.
Super
sometimes.
Calm.
I'm practicing my second career.
Rex. As a mannequin.
Living statue.
Living statue.
Right? Living statue.
He's going to paint himself gold standing in Times Square.
Until the small English town elected officials kill him off and bury him beneath the
We have
church.
Living statues here.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
I'm with you, George. I got your back, man.
Yeah. I think I saw it once. Yeah. All right. That's going to wrap it up for this show. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another... Yep.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.